consider this. Everyone in your life is the way that they are because of how you have communicated with them. In my last talk, I spoke of the importance of speaking justly, fairly, honestly, and with a sensitivity for the person who you are speaking to. I believe that we do not get any off-the-hook or off-the-record conversations. Our communications land, our words, our energy, our body language land with the people that we're speaking with. And it's exactly in the moment where we're least present that we will say, that we will behave, that we will speak in a way that causes upset or hurt to the other person. I have an example of this from one of my sons. When he was back in primary school, he took part in a test. There were these things called ICAS tests. I can't remember what ICAS, I-C-A-S, stands for, but they're an organization that runs standardized testing in a variety of subjects for a large number of children across New Zealand, Australia, and in the South Pacific region. My son had taken part in one of these tests. The results came back, and when he handed me the results, I was disengaged, not focused, and I gave him to believe by what I said, by my energy, by my whole body language, that I was dissatisfied with his results in that test. He raised this with me probably about 10 years later, and in raising it with me, he was upset. My moment of disengagement, my moment of not being present, had conveyed to him the impression that I thought that he wasn't good enough because of the result in that test. It had hurt him, and he had carried it with him for all those years in between. This sort of thing happens all the time. Even if it doesn't get brought into the light, as my son had the courage to do when he brought it to light to me, even if it doesn't get brought to light and you don't get the opportunity to apologize for it, you are carrying the wounds of other people's communications to you, and they, other people, are carrying the wounds of your communication with them. And in one way or another, you know, we're all carrying the burdens of the way that other people have spoken towards us, behaved towards us, acted towards us, the energy that they have put off when we have been in communication. Because of the way that people's communication land with us and shape us, we create expectations. Our history of someone creates an expectation in the way that they will show up. In a work context, for instance, I look back to my days working in an office when I was practicing the law, and I formed an impression of everybody in that office. There were dozens of people worked in that office, and I had an impression of each of them. And my impression of each of them meant that I assumed that they would show up in a certain way. I had an expectation of how they would show up. I had an expectation of certain people that they would be bluster. I had an expectation of other people that they would appreciate a laugh. I had an expectation of other people that they would be quiet or retreating. And because of those expectations, that shaped my communication towards them. One of the people in that firm, and I'm sad to say that he's now deceased, one of those people in the firm had a very stern, sort of an outlook. He had a stern facade or veneer to him. And when I was really new with that firm, when I was just a young solicitor, one of the other solicitors who was a year or two ahead of me said, "Oh, you've always got to call that person Mr. So-and-so." One of the secretaries, one of the personal assistants working in the office, said to me, "Hamish, you've got to call this man by his initials," which was kind of a code that we used in the office. I might have been HK or whatever. But she said, "No, you've got to call him Jim. You've got to call him by his initials. Don't call him Mr. because that will just create barriers. If you are subservient and don't stand up for yourself, then he will respond accordingly and he will dominate you and you'll never stand on your own two feet with him." And so the advice from the junior solicitor to call him Mr. was destined to create boundaries and barriers. And ultimately, well, I say ultimately, it was only about 6 months later or a year later, that solicitor moved to a different firm. He had been working closely with this particular man, and they just weren't getting on. And part of it was this impersonal barrier of Mr. that was standing in the way. I took the advice of the personal assistant, who had some wisdom about her, and I called him Jim. I called him by his initials. I avoided using Mr. And gradually, I moved up through the firm and I became a partner in the firm. And so no longer was I in the, I'm a junior person and there's this dominating figure of this man who must be addressed as Mr. So-and-so. We were on a level footing. In fact, it was he who took me out to lunch and said, "Hamish, we would like you to become a partner in the firm." That relationship became possible because I accepted the advice, the wisdom of the personal assistant who said, break down the barriers in your communication with this man. And so instead of there being an expectation on his part that I was lacking confidence, that I was subservient, that I was to be dominated, I was standing up for myself, and that created a more mutual respect between us and a better open channel of communication. The expectations govern the way that we communicate. Now be careful with this. If I've got a long experience of someone and a large sample space of communications to draw on, then my expectations may have some validity. If I've got less information, fewer communications, a shorter experience of someone, less frequent communications, then the amount of information may still cause me to have an expectation, but it's less reliable. And if I'm meeting someone for the first time, then I've got nothing to go on. But still, I will have expectations because I will look at that person and based on their age, I will make assumptions and have expectations about how I can speak with them, what they will know, what they might be interested in, what their inclinations are. I might look at them and assume something from their gender. But as we know, gender is a much broader and more fluid concept than simply man, woman. And if I look at someone and say, "Well, you're a woman, so you are like all women," I can be entirely flawed and mistaken in my assumptions and expectations about her. I might look at someone based on their clothing and make an assumption about them. And yet, if I look at someone in the middle of the week and I see them in business attire, well, okay, I can assume that they're involved in business, that they, you know, have certain qualifications or education or intelligence. But if I saw them, in a raggedy pair of pants and a singlet or something like that, I would have a different expectation. But it might be context-driven. If I see them wearing their schleppy clothes at the weekend, I might assume, well, they're just not on duty now. They're not working. And they've been working in the garden, for instance. But my assumptions might be entirely wrong. Entirely wrong. I might see someone in the middle of week in business attire and assume that they're a business person. Maybe they're going to a funeral, and in fact they're not a business person at all, but they've dressed up for a particularly grave occasion. Who knows? I might look at someone, and based on their height, I will assume things about them. I might look at someone based on their build. I will assume things about them. I might look at someone and based on their skin color or ethnicity, I will assume things about them. They are, the subconscious patterns may still be there. And those assumptions and expectations will affect my communications if I allow them to. So the answer is to be absolutely present, be fully present and engaged, and be open to all things. Assume nothing. If I assume that someone is lazy and I give them no space to be otherwise, then I will always believe them to be lazy. If I show up and create an opportunity for them to demonstrate that in fact, yes, they're willing, hardworking, and they want to expand the scope of their activities, they want to contribute, they want to take on a bigger role. If I drop my expectation that they're lazy, if I create the opportunity for them to show their full worth, they may very well do that. But it needs to come from my communication. I need to drop expectation and come from a place of openness, presence, and what's available right now. I've got a story about making assumptions of someone based on their appearance. Way back in 2010, I attended a teacher training program run by Baron Baptiste. On that program, I met a woman. And my perception of her was that she was overweight. And as a result of that, without voicing it, I had certain assumptions about her. And my assumptions were wrong. It wasn't that she was so much overweight, but I got the opportunity to work with her on a couple of occasions one-on-one during the course of that week-long program. And in the course of those communications, I learned that at one time she had been 100 pounds heavier than she was as I was meeting her. When she had been in that genuinely overweight state, she had had a particularly poor self-image. She regarded herself as being her body. She regarded her body as not being beautiful, and she allowed other people to treat her with the same disdain and disrespect that she held for herself. She had surrounded herself with people who would abuse her in her relationships with them, who would treat her unkindly, and who would disrespect her. That reached a point where she was in crisis mode. She was in despair. She hated herself, she hated her life, she hated the people around her. And at that point, she discovered the Baptiste style of power vinyasa yoga that me and my wife Margot and our teachers offer at our studio Apollo Power Yoga. That style of yoga is a strong, vigorous style of yoga that will build strength and mobility in your body. And it's taught against a backdrop of philosophical principle. so that, you know, guided by timeless truths, you can forge a transformation in the way that you see yourself and the world around you. And so it was with this woman. She participated in Baptiste-style power vinyasa yoga. She transformed her body. She lost all that weight, 100 pounds worth. And she transformed her view of herself. She took a stand for herself as being worthy. She built her sense of self-esteem. And as she did so, all the negative relationships fell away. Those who would abuse her, she no longer had in her life. Those who would value her and support her and treat her with the newfound respect that she had for herself, those people stayed. I learned a lot from her by working with her that week. Her story brought into stark relief the way that I had made assumptions about her. I had assumed that she was lazy and lacked discipline. She was not lazy. She did not lack discipline. She was smart, intelligent, hardworking, wonderful person. I learned very quickly to respect her, to value her, and the lessons that she taught me, you know, live with me to this day. Since that time, I have been on a process of endeavoring to be more present in the way that I communicate with people. I have been on a process of dropping expectations and assumptions to meet people as they are, not as I perceive them to be, not as I assume them to be, not as I expect them to be. I've been on a journey of trying to meet people in a truthful, present way. Make it your way to bring your communications to a conscious level. Communicate not on the basis of subconscious assumption, but on the basis of present reality. Communicate not in an off-the-hook way where you're disengaged from those with whom you're communicating, but in a fully engaged and aware way so that you can experience what the other person is experiencing in your communications, so that you can avoid causing unnecessary hurt the way that I did with my son with respect to the test results. So that you can meet someone as they are, not on the basis of an assumption that, you know, their body shape tells you about them. Be present, be aware, be respectful, drop your assumptions, drop your expectations, be in the now.